Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that Dave Morgan read for us, Psalm 8. This psalm is a particularly rich psalm. There's a huge amount of teaching in this, and I'm not going to be able to cover it in one sermon. I'm not sure how many sermons there will be, but there'll definitely be more than one. And this morning, I'm just looking at verse 1. And verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let me very briefly give you an introduction to this psalm, and then I will deal with verse 1. Psalm 8, of course, is one of the more famous psalms, one of the more well-known psalms in the book of Psalms. As you know, there are some psalms that we are quite familiar with, we know them, and other psalms we hardly know at all. Psalm 8 is one of those psalms that we do know quite well, probably because it is quoted 3 times in the New Testament. That doesn't happen very often, that a passage which is just 9 verses, quite a short psalm, is quoted 3 times in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus quotes it in Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to be looking at that quote a little later when we look at some verses further on. The Apostle Paul quotes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the writer to the Hebrews also quotes from this psalm. What is this psalm about? What is its message? Well, this psalm is about 2 things. There are 2 things that this psalm speaks about. It speaks about the blessings that God has poured out upon his people. There's no question that quite a bit of this psalm is on this theme. God has blessed his people. God has poured out his blessings upon his people. And the psalmist writes this psalm as a kind of a song of praise, thanking God for the blessings that he has poured out upon his people. So you look, for example, at verses 3 and 4. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man, that you care for him. Now that is a reference to us as human beings. Doesn't just refer to us as human beings, but it does refer to us as human beings. And the writer is saying, here we are as human beings. And he says, God is mindful of us and God cares for us. And in a few weeks, we'll be looking at that verse. It's actually a wonderful verse to remind us of the blessings that God has poured out upon his people. So that's the first theme of this psalm, the blessings that God has poured out upon his people. But there is another theme in this psalm, and it is the Savior whom God has provided for his people. The Savior whom God has provided for his people. And 2 of the 3 New Testament quotes are direct references to Jesus Christ. When Paul quotes this psalm in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about Christ. When the writer to the Hebrews quotes from this psalm, he's talking about Christ. So this psalm also speaks about the Savior whom God has provided for his people, the blessings that God has poured out upon his people, the Savior whom God has provided for his people. This morning I want to look at verse 1, and it is a verse particularly rich in content and I trust in encouragement for us. My goal this morning is to encourage us, and I trust and pray as we look at this first verse, our hearts will be filled with joy because we will see great things in our God. David begins this psalm, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I want to bring out 3 things from this verse. 3 things. They're all about God. It's a verse that teaches us about our God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And we as Christians need to know who our God is. We need to grow in our knowledge of who our God is. This is the substance of the Christian life. You want to live a Christian life where you have joy, where you are encouraged, where your faith is strengthened, where you're living a life to the glory of God. You need to know God and you need to grow in your knowledge and your understanding of God. This is the substance of the Christian life, to know Him, to grow in our knowledge of Him. And that will encourage us, that will help us to live lives that honor Him. So we're going to look at the person of our God in this psalm, and it says three things. The first thing it tells us is that God is our loving Father who loves us with a tender and a compassionate love. God is our loving Father who loves us with a tender and a compassionate love. And I say that because of the first word of that psalm. Well, actually the second word, O Lord. O Lord. Now that name of God, of course, is Jehovah. That is the Hebrew word that here is translated Lord, Jehovah. And this is the name that God gave to himself when he revealed himself to Moses and to the people of Israel. If you know your Bible, you will know that the second book of the Bible is a book called Exodus. It's a very, very important book. If you've never read the Bible or you've never read Exodus, I encourage you to read that book of Exodus, because the theme of Exodus is the glory of God. It reveals God. That's the purpose of that book. And in it, God reveals various aspects of his character. And in the book of Exodus, we read about how the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. Egypt was this huge, wealthy, cruel, idolatrous country. Huge country, very wealthy country, politically very powerful country. And within its borders, there was a large number of aliens, the Jewish people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians were very cruel to the Israelites. They enslaved them and they put them to forced labor. And you read about it, and it's barbaric what they did to these Israelites. And the Israelites, because they were in such stress, they were in such distress, they cried out to their God and asked him to help them. And God appeared to Moses. And this is what God said to Moses when he declared his name. He said to Moses, I am Jehovah. This is the name he gave himself, the word translated Lord. And this is what he said to Moses. He said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place where the Canaanites, the Gittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Givites, and the Jebusites are living. So God comes down to Moses, and God reveals himself to Moses as Jehovah. And God says, I have indeed seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry. I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. You see, this is how he reveals himself to Moses, as a God who is filled with love and compassion and tender mercy. the Israelites cry out to God in their distress, and God isn't indifferent to their sufferings, and God doesn't say, well, it's too bad you're suffering there in Egypt. You know, this is how things are. I mean, this is how the politics of the world works out. He doesn't say that. He comes down and he speaks to Moses, and he says, I have heard the cry of my people, and I've seen their affliction, and I know their suffering. It's a wonderful phrase there. He says, I know their sufferings. And in the Old Testament, the word know is an intimate knowledge. It isn't just a kind of a passing intellectual knowledge. It's a felt knowledge. I have felt their sufferings in my heart. My heart goes out to them. I've seen and I've felt this suffering that they're undergoing. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. So that name, Jehovah, Lord, tells us that God is our loving Father who loves us with a tender and a compassionate love. Are you in distress today? Are you anxious today? Are there things happening that cause you distress and anxiety and cause you worry and sleepless nights? Well, we live in a world where sin afflicts every area of life. We're living in times which are very strange times. There is illness. There is alienation from our families. We feel cut off. We feel lonely. We feel rather low because we have to stay in. This is the lockdown. Perhaps if you're at work, there's pressure from your workplace upon you today because of things that are happening in workplace. There's an enormous amount of pressure upon people who are in work because the economy, of course, has taken a dive and so much of economic activity has closed down. Well, of course, there is anxiety and there is distress. And I want to say this to you. And can I say this? I'm not just here talking words, because they're nice sounding words. This is scripture. This is God's word. This is God revealing himself. And God says to us what God said to Moses. I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cry because of their affliction. I know their sufferings. God sees our afflictions. God is not immune to these things. God is not hard-hearted and demanding, a kind of an ogre who has no care or compassion. The heart of God is a very tender heart. The heart of God is a compassionate heart. The heart of God is overflowing with mercy and grace and love and compassion. We do great harm to God and to ourselves when we don't believe this. We're actually slandering God, you know, when we have hard thoughts about God. When we have thoughts about God that he doesn't really care. I tell you this. And I say this to you with all sincerity. The Lord knows where you are today. The Lord knows the pressures that you're under today. The Lord knows the trials, the troubles, the distresses, the anxieties that you are facing today. The Lord knows. He has seen and he has felt it. He knows what you're going through today. Please take this on board. Please remember this. In your most anxious moments, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you're worried you can't sleep again, turn your thoughts to God and meditate on God and ask God to minister to you. Pray to him. The Israelites prayed to him. And God says to Moses, I have heard their cry. The Israelites were in distress, and God says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Not just him, I've definitely seen the affliction of my people. I know their sufferings. God is our loving Father who loves us with a tender and a compassionate love. I know there are stresses. I know there are afflictions and anxieties. I know that. But I want to encourage you this morning. We have a God in heaven who is our tender, loving, compassionate, gracious Father. That's the first thing in this verse, O Lord Jehovah. The second thing in this verse, the first thing, God is our loving Father. The second thing, God is our gracious King who rules over us. God is our gracious King who rules over us. So he's our loving Father who loves us, and he's our gracious King who rules over us. The way that this psalm, the verse flows, O Lord, that's Jehovah. But then the second word translated Lord isn't Jehovah. It is a word, a completely different name for God, meaning God, our sovereign ruler. It is actually taken from the name Adonai. You've probably heard different Hebrew words for the name of God. There's Jehovah and then there's Adonai. And this is actually Adonainu, which means our Lord, our Lord. So you have that personal pronoun attached to the actual name. It's one word, our Lord. And David is saying here, Jehovah, the one who loves us, the one who is compassionate and caring and merciful, is our sovereign Lord, the one who rules over us, because the Hebrew name Adonai refers to his kingly rule, his sovereignty. So God isn't just a loving Father. God is a gracious King who rules over us. Now this is tremendously encouraging. You know how it is when sometimes somebody comes to you and they share their troubles with you and they say, well, I've got a certain difficulty, I've got an illness. Just been to the doctor, they've done the test, and I've been diagnosed with this terminal illness or something like that. And as they share, you feel like weeping. And you want to hug them. And you want to say, my dear brother, my dear sister, I'm so sorry. Because you have all the compassion in the world. Your heart is moved. You love this person. And you have compassion and pity and mercy. And you want to do all that you can for them. But there are so many times when you can actually do very little for them. You know how you feel. You feel helpless. And frequently people say, I wish I could do something. I feel so helpless. I see your plight. I see the condition you're in. I wish I could do something. We as human beings are actually very limited in what we can do. But not God. Not God. So you have in this name, O Lord, our Lord, the love, compassion, and mercy of God, and the power and sovereignty of God. The two ideas linked together. O Lord, compassionate and merciful. Our Lord, powerful and sovereign. So the God whom we worship, the God who loves us and has saved us and has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light and adopted us as his children, is not only full of mercy and compassion and grace, but is also all-powerful, almighty, all-sovereign, in control of all things. He has grace and he has power. That's why the writer to the Hebrews talks about the throne of grace. You see that phrase? The throne is where the king sits. The throne is power. But it's the throne of grace. The one who is on the throne is gracious. So if you're anxious today, you have trials in your life, I encourage you to meditate much on your God and to pray much to him. Now, I know how these things work because we come to God in prayer and sometimes we see very little. And you then begin to think, well, does God really love me? Yes, he does love me. Is God really able? Yes, he is able. You see, God is all wise. Remember what this is saying. It isn't saying God is our servant. It is saying God is our Lord. Oh Lord, our Lord. So don't think of God as your servant. Hey, I've got a problem, fix it. No, that's not how it works. God is the one who is at work, and God is preparing us for the blessings of eternal life in heaven. And God takes us through trials, and God is all wise, and God is looking into the future. He isn't just looking at the present, he's looking into the future. And he's using our trials to strengthen our faith. He's using our trials to teach us prayer. He's using our trials to teach us Bible reading. He's using our trials to shape Christian character in us. He's using our trials to transform us into the image of Christ. Because he has a long-term plan for us to save us from all our sins, to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ, and to take us into heaven to be with him. God is at work. He is sovereign, and he is at work. Never doubt his love, and never doubt his power. He is at work. And never give up praying or trusting him. He is at work. Don't always see his work immediately. We don't always see things working out as we would like them to work out. But then, I am not Lord, he is Lord. He's the one who determines how things work out in my life, not me. But he is a gracious and a compassionate God, and he's full of comfort and full of love for his people. So God is our loving Father. God is our gracious King. And then thirdly and finally, God is our mighty King who is building his kingdom worldwide. God is our mighty King who is building his kingdom worldwide. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How majestic is your name in all the earth. The word majestic is, in today's English, awesome. I'm really sad that the word awesome has been abused today. And so we talk about everything being awesome. It's a modern word, isn't it? So they say, oh, that movie was awesome. Or the meal, we went out for a meal, it was awesome. Well, actually, awesome is a Bible word, and it refers to God, because God is full of awe. And we are to be full of awe when we come into God's presence. Our hearts are to be filled with awe, reverence, worship for him. Because God is an awesome God. So David says in this second part of verse 1, your name, he says, is majestic. It's awesome. It draws reverence. It inspires worship all over the world. Now, in his day, it was a statement of fact, because God declares his glory by creation. In his day, only the people of Israel knew Jehovah and Adonai. But the rest of the world, the people in Japan, the people in the Americas, the people in Africa, didn't know Jehovah. But they did know that there is a God in heaven who is an awesome God, because creation tells them that. So it is a statement of fact. When he was writing, he was saying, your name is awesome everywhere on earth. And it was, because of creation. But it is also a statement of faith, because David knew that God had made a promise to Abraham that through you, the nations of the world will be blessed. And David knew the day would come when Christ's kingdom would be a worldwide kingdom, and his gospel would go out to all the parts of the world, and his name would be known to every part of the world, and every tribe and every tongue and every nation would know the gospel, and millions would believe the gospel and be saved, and would then worship the one true living God through Jesus Christ. How majestic is your name in all the earth. It's a prophecy. It's a statement of faith. And today we are seeing this being worked out. God is at work worldwide. Yes, coronavirus is everywhere, but the work of God is also everywhere. And God even uses the virus for the spread of his kingdom worldwide. So helpful, isn't it, to have our family talk and to look at Afghanistan and Barbados and Chad and Korea, and to see how God is at work in this, and to pray for these nations. And please take those countries that are brought to our attention each week, and please pray for them. Because God is at work building his kingdom worldwide. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The devil won't stop the spread of his kingdom. So God is our mighty King who is building his kingdom worldwide. He's our loving Father. He's a gracious King, and he's a mighty King. I trust and I pray this is of encouragement to us today. May God bless us as we meditate on his character and seek to know more and more of his love and of his power.